This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, DA, I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, DA, what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
DA, what's the dealio? Permission to get in that mothership.
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, DA? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My coworker's a jerk. Oh, just beam me up, man.
Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Man, I'm feeling great.
I'm doing great.
Happy Monday to you boys and girls. One question only. How do you feel?
Well, I feel good and I'm doing well.
That's all that really matters. And we come to you live for the Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans Studios. Home is so much more than a house. It's the home of your dreams. And for 30 years, they've been making it better. Rocket Mortgage, push button, get mortgage. Coming up this hour on the show, Will Brinson, CBS Sports senior NFL writer, to talk about divisional round weekend of the NFL postseason. A couple of really fun games yesterday, especially watching the final drive by Aaron Rodgers. Is this his last great Super Bowl chance at 36 years old? And Patrick Mahomes doing what Patrick Mahomes did, and Russell Wilson in a losing effort being absolutely brilliant in the second half. All questions, comments, concerns about divisional round week, and hit me up on the phones at 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. And vote in our Twitter poll today. The last time the Seahawks won at Lambeau, Russell Wilson was 10 years old. Was he corny at 10? That's at CBS Sports Radio, the Twitter feed. It's kind of amazing that the Green Bay Packers have one of the greatest quarterbacks ever to play, went 13-3 this year, had a home playoff game and a bye, and still nobody thought they were very good. And I kind of have a feeling that the way yesterday unfolded, people still don't really think the Packers are all that good. Whereas, can you get me a look-ahead line? Really not a look-ahead line anymore, but what the line is opening up now for the NFC Championship game? Because my guess is the Niners are a healthy favorite. With the way that they quickly dispatched the Minnesota Vikings on Saturday and the way that the Packers struggled with the Seahawks yesterday, my guess is, once again, the Green Bay Packers are going to be a pretty healthy underdog in this game.
And seven.
It's a seven-point favorite.
Seven and a half in the AFC title game, seven in the NFC.
I'm wondering what it will take for people to believe that the Packers are legitimate. What will it take? I mean, again, last night, when it mattered most and you needed first downs, Brett Favre threw two tremendous passes. Really, the catch by Jimmy Graham was more of a Graham individual effort, but the throw to Davante Adams was a thing of beauty. How many quarterbacks make that throw and make that throw look that effortless in that spot? And I thought Matt LaFleur called a whale of a game, especially in the first half. And in the second half, the offense kind of came back to the pack. They only scored one touchdown. They were up 28-10. Defense couldn't really hold it. Russell Wilson, though, was in a totally different landscape and stratosphere than what the Packers defense could catch up with. And he was just doing his own thing, and it was incredible to watch. But in the first half, Matt LaFleur, to me, called nearly the perfect half. You had perfect balance, perfect, between his run game and his passing game. In the first half yesterday, with a 21-3 lead, they had 15 throws, 15 pass attempts for 120 yards and a touchdown, The Packers had 18 rushing attempts for 81 yards and two touchdowns. He had balanced it out for 200 yards of offense in one half, three touchdowns, both on the ground and through the air. And then had a 28-10 lead at home. Look, up 28-10 at home in the divisional round, you should be able to hold on to that lead in the third quarter. Packers defense allowed Russell Wilson to go down the field. And again, Wilson was just tremendous. But LaFleur called a great first half. Great. Impeccable. Rodgers had a couple of tremendous throws. Devontae Adams ends up with 160 yards, a playoff Packer record. And they've won 14 games this year. And they're still a touchdown underdog on the road on Sunday. And I still don't think people think they're very good. And I don't know what it will take. But look, the Packers are really good. You don't get this far unless you're really good. And I said the Niners are the best coach team left. I think they're the best coach team in football. I love Shanahan's play calling. Salah is a fantastic defensive coordinator. The defense is aggressive. It is well organized. The team has an identity. They were ready to go on Sunday. They were able to shut down Dalvin Cook. They took away what the Vikings wanted to do. They did what they wanted to do in terms of running the football, controlling the line of scrimmage. They're just really well coached. But at some point, you've got to give some respect to a team in the NFC title game. They're the two seed. They've won 14 games. And yet, I just don't think many people think the Packers are all that good. I guess their point differential wasn't good during the regular season. Rodgers was kind of a middle-of-the-pack quarterback this year. But they're a good, deep, talented team that have playmakers on defense. And you still have one of the greats of all time under center. Mraz, why do you think all season people have been sleeping on the Packers?
I think because it's uncomfortable to watch the Packers look different than how we've seen them the last 10 years. What I mean by that is just it's not Aaron Rodgers and 52 other guys and Aaron Rodgers bailing them out, throwing crazy Hail Marys, making things look incredible. I think Aaron Rodgers definitely looks a little bit older but still looks really good. But the Packers are more of a well-rounded team now. They don't mind getting ugly and winning ugly. And I guess that's frowned upon because we aren't used to seeing a Packer team with Aaron Rodgers look like that. Suddenly, they have no problem slowing down a game and handing it to Aaron Jones and letting Aaron Jones churn the clock and get first downs rather than have to have tight ends making one-handed catches and Rodgers running all over the place. They're playing well on defense. They spent money on both the Smiths to get after the quarterback. And Mike Pettine is running an aggressive kind of defense. And it's not just Clay Matthews with some golden hair making a play every once in a while, but ultimately the Packer defense stinking and Rodgers needing to go put up 40 points to win a game and making us wowed. They're allowed to win ugly because their defense plays that way. They run the ball way more. And because of that, less is relied upon Rodgers. And we're not used to seeing the Packers that way. So since it's not Aaron Rodgers looking ultimately elite, we don't think they're as good as they are when they probably are.
Yeah, I think that's a good point. I think it's a good point. I think because Rodgers hasn't been superhuman this year, the inclination is the Packers aren't as good. And I think because Matt LaFleur is still unproven and because he hasn't been put up on a pedestal as this hot, young head coach like Sean McVay was year number one, that people don't know yet whether LaFleur is really a good coach or not. If LaFleur was doing this for a couple of years, maybe he would have more credibility. And because they don't have superstars outside of Aaron Rodgers, most of the casual fans don't know who plays on the Packers. But this is the best Packers team in nearly a decade. This is probably the best Packers team since 2011. They made the NFC title game in 2014. That was when they blew the lead in Seattle, didn't get the onside kick. That was a very good Packers team. But that was also a team totally reliant, really, on Rodgers' brilliance. You got to go back to really 2011, coming off that Super Bowl, when they still had a pretty good defense, and they went 15-1, and Rodgers was incredible, but I thought that, you know, you don't go 15-1 just because your quarterback's great.
And loaded at receiver, though, when you have Greg Jennings and Jordy Nelson, and at the end there, Donald Driver, and JerMichael Finley's your tight end. They were loaded at the offensive weapon position. other than Devontae Adams, it's not really loaded right now. You're looking at Geronimo Allison, who somehow keeps sticking around for the Green Bay Packers.
I made that incredible sliding catch yesterday. I mean, they all are pretty effective.
Right. You know, and Randall Cobb back in the day. Like, you don't have those household names anymore. So if you're not used to those guys and Rodgers isn't looking like Rodgers used to, but they're still winning games, I think it makes people a little uncomfortable because it's not used to what they're seeing with the Packers.
The Niners are really good. The Niners have home field advantage. I understand them being a favorite. Whew. Packers catching 7 here. It's a big opening line. I wonder if that'll come closer. But then again, the Niners looked so impressive over the weekend, that over the course of this week, you might just have a lot of people expecting, because the Niners are at home, the Niners have been pretty dominant all season long, and because the Niners blew out the Packers the first time around, I think that also had something to do with it. When we saw the Packers in a big spot against the Niners, they got absolutely shellacked. And so I think the idea is, well, the Packers are fine, but they're not as good as the best team of the NFC, which is the Niners. But I think the Packers are catching a lot of disrespect. 855-212-4CBS, the phone number. Hit us on Twitter, DA on CBS. Our toll-free line brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way you could save money switching to Geico. Geico.com, 15 minutes, you could save 15% or more on car insurance. And personally, I'm just a geek that we get Aaron Rodgers in another NFC championship game. Who knows if he gets back to another one? He's 36. This is his fourth. You know, it's not like Tom Brady where you just take for granted, okay, he's going to go to the AFC title game every single year. Brady went to 8 straight. This is only the fourth ever for Aaron Rodgers, so it's just cool to have him one step away from a Super Bowl to see what he can do. Dick is next up in Myrtle Beach, listening on 100.3 The Team there. Good morning, Dick.
Hey, guys. How we doing? D.A., first, I want to say congrats on the new time slot. I absolutely love it.
Thank you.
Second, I want to talk AFC Championship. Obviously, the Titans are probably going to be considered huge underdogs, but do you think the Chiefs can really, really deal with Derrick Henry? I mean, I just don't see that defense being able to deal with that rushing attack.
I think that this Chiefs team is better suited to be able to win this AFC title game and to beat the Titans than the Ravens or the Patriots were, because their offense is more well-rounded. Their offense is obviously kind of operated by a quarterback right now that is a tier above what Brady is at this point in his career. No disrespect to Brady, but Mahomes is operating at a higher level because of Brady's age and what Lamar Jackson has done or seen in his career to this point in time. So I don't think the Titans are going to be able to hold the Chiefs to about 13 or 14 points like they've been able to do the first 2 weeks. But Derrick Henry's running ability, Derrick Henry's rushing ability, Derrick Henry's beast mode, where you simply cannot bring him down, is going to be a problem. For every team that plays them, it's going to be a problem. Because this past game on Saturday, the Ravens knew what was coming, stacked the box to stop it, and still couldn't stop it. And if that's the case, that you just have a guy that right now is unstoppable, then if Derrick Henry is going to get 150 yards rushing against the Chiefs defense, guess what? The Titans have a shot at staying in this game and maybe shocking the Chiefs late. They're a 7.5-point underdog going into Sunday's game. 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227 on Twitter, DA on CBS. Will Brinson, senior NFL writer for CBSSports.com, is going to join us to talk about the weekend next. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Good value, big upside.
I look at the clips of you guys, and I could listen to you guys talk for hours.
No, you smell butts.
That's all, folks.
DA, that is.
You're right.
It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
We do have a way with words around here. 20 minutes past the hour. Thanks for being with us. DA with you here on CBS Sports Radio across the great CBS Sports Radio network and terrestrial affiliates everywhere. Also on Sirius XM Channel 206. Listen to us on your phone. Use the CBS Sports app, the radio.com app, Apple Music, or watch us at watchda.com. Will Brinson's going to join us coming up here. But first, Rob to the 3-2-1, listening on Sirius XM 206. He's in Cocoa Beach, Florida. Good morning, Rob.
D.A., good morning, Mraz, Bogish, and Bilotti. Love the new time slot. Since I'm finally on with you guys, can I get a beam up?
Yes, sir.
So these games yesterday were just quite the incredible display of testinal fortitude. I think what's going to come down to the AFC title game is going to come down to Mahomes, his arm and his talent, Henry, his legs, Rodgers, his experience, and his cool, calm collective, even though I'm not a Packers fan by any means. It's going to maybe come down to Garoppolo's youth and his excitement, you know, that he brings to the table. And there's only one way I could honestly describe the Texans' collapse. The Texans is that guy that goes to the bar and he meets that hot chick. That hot chick is the lead the Texans had. He feels all giddy. He starts making out with her. He's over in the corner. He's feeling really good. And then in the middle of making out, she just walks away. And that's what happened. The lead just walked away.
Walked right out of that bar. Right out. Thank you, Rob. I was thinking that the Houston Texans' energy level felt like when you wake up in college, your alarm goes off, you go, oh, I feel great. Got so much good sleep last night. And then by 9:30, you're at your laptop and you're face down on the desk with drool all over. Those guys, the Texans, crashed quickly. Really, really quickly. Let's talk about divisional round weekend in the NFL now that we have our two championship games with our good friend from CBS Sports HQ and CBSSports.com, senior NFL writer and host of the Pick 6 podcast, Will Brinson. Will, good morning.
Morning, DA. What's going on, buddy?
I'm good, man. I'm good. So good to have you aboard here. And let's start with the ridiculous comeback yesterday with the Kansas City Chiefs. If the Texans go for it on fourth and short instead of kicking the field goal and go up 28-0, do you think yesterday's game changes?
No, because Patrick Mahomes and the Chiefs offense unleashed a torrent of hell fury touchdowns. I mean, like, I think if Bill O'Brien goes for it on fourth down and scores a touchdown and then gets the fake punt, you know, and they're like up 35-0, then maybe that's too much for the Chiefs to overcome. But, like, it was weird. You know, we saw almost an identical – I think that I never felt like the Chiefs were out of it, even at 24-0. I felt like, okay, you know, this is not going to be easy to come back from, but, this is Patrick Mahomes and this Chiefs offense. I've seen them operate before. I know how good they are. I don't believe that they're dead in the water yet. You know, I definitely thought, like, they're not going to cover 9.5. But I thought, you know, this team could win the game. And you know, but I think the only reason that there was doubt there for me and for anybody else watching it is because we just seen such a similar scenario unfold with the Titans and Ravens, where this unstoppable Ravens team is down to the Titans. You know, they're getting punched in the mouth. But you know, the difference was, and we'll talk about that game in a second, is that the Chiefs, you know, the Ravens are built to hold leads. The Chiefs are built to, you know, to score whenever the hell they want. And the Titans have a good defense. The Texans do not. And look, you know, you run that, you know, you kick the field goal. You give them some life. Mecole Hardman takes the punt back. They score a quick touchdown. The fake punt happens. And it's like the second the fake punt happened, if there was a way for me to wager on it becoming 24-14 within the next, like, 6 minutes of real time, I would have done that because it was going to happen. That was, it was only a matter of when, not if. And then once it was like 24-21, it's like, well, the Chiefs are just going to cover and they're going to win by 20. Like, can I bet on the Chiefs winning by 20? Because that's going to happen.
Yeah, I know. It was crazy. Once it was 24-14, it almost felt like the Chiefs had the lead in this game because everything had shifted. There's so many superlatives to use when
hey,
it comes to...
Let me posit something to you, and I'm curious what you think. We talked about this on the Pick 6 podcast, and I don't think we're the only ones who've talked about this. I was tweeting about it. Is it possible that it was good for Andy Reid to be down 24-0?
I think in a win, yes. As long as they got the win, then you have to learn.
You have to learn
something from being down 24-0.
But like, I feel like multiple times when Andy Reid in the past would have tapped the brakes and just, you know, run the ball.
Oh, you're saying because they were down by so much, he couldn't play call conservatively.
Exactly. And like I think it was the third quarter. Deshaun Watson and the Texans go down and score. They got kind of lucky on a jailbreak play down the left side. But they, you know, they set up, they score the touchdown. They cut into 10, and you felt like, okay, this is where things could pucker up a little bit. Maybe the Chiefs decide to try to melt some clock. Maybe Andy Reid gets conservative. Maybe Deshaun Watson gets the ball back down 10. And then the Chiefs scored on four plays in a minute and 32 seconds because he's like, nah, we were down 24. We got to keep scoring. And I don't know. I just almost wonder if that's freeing a little bit for Andy Reid. I'd be curious to see how it plays out against the Titans and then potentially in the Super Bowl. But, I mean, if I'm a Chiefs fan, I don't like that we were down 24-0, but I like that the game script forced Andy Reid to be aggressive throughout.
Yeah, it completely opened up everything. And then once they were in some type of rhythm, it was impossible to stop. Will Brinson joins us here from CBS Sports. The flip side of this coin is obviously the Tennessee Titans that will not play in any game played in the 30s, let alone the 40s or 50s. So they got to keep this thing low. But can the Titans figure out a blueprint to do exactly what they did to the Ravens and do it on Sunday to the Chiefs?
Let's not forget the Titans beat the Chiefs in the regular season. I think I forgot that. I think a lot of people forgot that. It was a wild game. You know, that
35-32. Yeah.
Yeah. Had a block kick at the end and all of that. I don't know that it's necessarily indicative of what might happen in this particular game. I really think I said this, and I'm such a dumb A. I mean, I said this about the Ravens and Titans game. I was like, I mean, I said it on my podcast, said it on CBS Sports HQ, said it on radio all over the place before the game. I was like, listen, here's how this is going to go. The team that scores first is going to be able to get downhill on the other team, and they're going to win the game. And then I was like jamming the live bet button on the Ravens once they got down 14-0 like an idiot. Like, I'm like, they're definitely coming back like an idiot. So, I mean, I don't listen to myself. But I do think to a degree that it's true against the Chiefs too. To me, let's say the Chiefs get the ball first and they decide to, they get the ball early, they go down and score a touchdown, get a stop, score another touchdown, they're up 14-0. That game's over. Okay. I even though Andy Reid might play conservative at certain points of time, I don't believe that this Tennessee team, as much as I like Ryan Tannehill, is built to come from behind and throw the football against what is a pretty good secondary by Kansas City. They didn't look great early on. They came together and played very well down the stretch, I thought. We'll see, but they should probably get Chris Jones back this week. That would be a big, big plus against a team with Derrick Henry. Conversely, if the Titans are able to get a lead in the first quarter, and if the Titans were up 24-0 against the Chiefs, I think the Titans would hold on and win because – you know, if you're Tennessee at that point, you can, you know, Mike Vrabel is still going to be aggressive, but you can really just lean into the Derrick Henry thing and let him get downhill. And that's how Tennessee is going to win these games, by getting a lead, leaning on Derrick Henry, and just running the hell out of the football. If they have to play catch up, I don't think they'll win, but I think they can stay in it if they can, you just have to slow down Mahomes early. Credit to Dean Pease. And by the way, credit to Pete Prisco, who basically predicted how that defensive game plan would go against Lamar Jackson based on his tape study of the 2012 Super Bowl. You know, the Titans had an incredible game plan for the Ravens. They did an outstanding job defensively. I don't know that the same plan necessarily works for Patrick. Like, they dared Lamar Jackson to throw outside, took away the tight end, you know, didn't want him to run early on when they had the lead. I don't know that you can dare Patrick Mahomes to throw outside. I'm not sure that's going to work well for you.
I know you guys kicked this around on the Pick Six podcast after Saturday's game because I was listening to it, but I'm wondering, do you think that the Niners are the best coach team in football, from Saleh to Shanahan's play calling to the organization as a whole? Do you think they're the best coached?
It's between them and are we talking about all of football right now, or just all the teams left in the playoffs?
Let's go all the teams in the playoffs and then all of football.
Okay, so all the teams in the playoffs, I think it's close. I mean, Andy Reid is a really, really good coach. But, like, I wonder, I almost wonder how we would look at Kyle Shanahan if his name wasn't Shanahan. Because, I mean, and I mean that in a positive way. Like, I think we might be talking about, like, he gets the same credit as McVay, but I think he gets dinged a little bit for nepotism reasons, unfortunately. And, I mean, I think, you know, like, people are like, oh, well, you know, it comes from his dad's system, learned under his dad. Like, if he'd done it on his, you know what I mean? Does that,
yeah.
I don't know if that makes
yeah.
sense.
Yeah, no, but, I think a lot of people think he rose through the ranks simply because of his dad.
Yeah, but, I mean, he's an awesome coach. He is a really good coach and a really smart offensive game planner and very aggressive and approaches the game the right way. I mean, I think there's definitely an argument to be made that they're the best coach team top to bottom in the playoffs. They're certainly, I think, the most complete team top to bottom in the playoffs, although, you know, them or KC. I would still lean towards Belichick. If I was talking about all of football, but I think the 49ers are absolutely a top five coach team when we're talking about that.
Do you think Pete Carroll made a mistake punting it away with 2.5 minutes left last night?
It was 4th and 11. I didn't mind it in the time. Turner's got to catch that ball. Russell Wilson hits you in the numbers.
Yeah.
On a chain moving down. When you've got the ball down 5 in a divisional round playoff game on the road, I mean, Russ is, you know, it's not like they were, you know, everybody was hurt and they just couldn't put him out there. I mean, they called the play and they knew that you would be an option. You got to catch the ball. If he does that, I think it changes things dramatically. You know, 4th and 11, maybe, I don't know. I was fine with the decision to punt. I thought the Seahawks with their timeouts could certainly get a stop. They had multiple opportunities on 3rd and long. Aaron Rodgers yesterday was 7 of 8 for 121 yards, 1 touchdown, 1 sack, no interceptions, and I think 6 first downs, maybe 7 on 3rd and 5 or longer, passing the ball against the Seahawks. So I mean, that's basically what Seattle did to Philly the week before. They just converted an unsustainable number of 3rd and longs, and that's what the Packers did to the Seahawks yesterday. I mean, if he doesn't convert all credit in the world to Aaron Rodgers. I mean, I thought the Seahawks did a very poor job of game planning. Like, hey, maybe don't let Devontae Adams get singled up in slot coverage against, you know, in the slot against, you know, your like 3rd or 4th best cornerback on a critical 3rd and long. Cause he's going to beat you. I mean, we just saw Adams put on a route running clinic and he got wide open, and Rodgers made some big throws, whether it's the pass up the seam to Jimmy Graham. It just felt like Seattle's defense lacked in the big moments, and their unwillingness to cut Russell Wilson loose and to do what works for them offensively in the first half is very, very frustrating.
Bizarre.
I don't want to, you know, accuse them of wasting Russ's prime, but, like, you know, if you get out of Russell Wilson's career, we talk about with Aaron Rodgers, we should talk about it with Russell Wilson. If you get out of Russell Wilson's career with 1 Super Bowl, that's a disappointment. I mean, this is the bottom line. I mean, Russell Wilson is a Hall of Fame quarterback who makes magic happen. And I know you were, you know, 1 Marshawn jump away from having back-to-back Super Bowls. You know, but, like, for instance, if they come out in the first half and open up the game, and this is something that Kyle Shanahan would do, in my opinion. You open up the game with read option, right? You just come out, like, out of nowhere, you run read option with Russ all over the place. There is a 0% chance Mike Pettine and the Packers would have been prepared. It would have thrown their game plan completely off. You know, do that for the first quarter. See how it works. Get some yards with Russell's legs. You know, use Travis Homer instead of Marshawn Lynch in those spots. You're gonna get your drives moving. You're probably going to score a couple touchdowns. You're going to get Russ in a rhythm. The receiver's going to feel confident. Clowney's going to be able to, you know, pin his ears back. And instead, they're down 21-3, and that's when they're like, okay, I guess we got to take the reins off Russ. It's such a bizarre way to coach, knowing that, you know, you constantly find yourself in these deficits and Russ has to work his magic to create a comeback, when it would be so much easier to just be aggressive offensively out of the game.
Yep, absolutely. It's maddening. Will Brinson joining us, senior NFL writer, CBSSports.com, CBS Sports HQ as well. Check out the Pick 6 podcast every single day The whole crew there is breaking down everything NFL playoff-related, hires and fires as well in the coaching ranks. It's a great listen. Check it out, Pick 6 Podcast. Subscribe now. You'll get your football fix. Well, it's always good to catch up, my man. Thanks so much.
Always fun, DA. Have a great day, buddy.
Okay, you too. The Russell Wilson, how they utilized him is maddening. It is maddening because there's no reason to wait until you're down 21-3 to really let him loose. Once they stared that deficit in the face, it was basically, okay, Russ, go take over. Whatever you think we should do, just do. And that's when they came roaring back. That's when he was just brilliant in the pocket, out of the pocket. That's when he was unguardable. And they constantly wait to do that. Why you wouldn't build the entire offense around that is anybody's guess. When we come back here on the show, we've got your cut line, the story that did not make the cut in your epic fail. We've also got your headlines. Mr. Bogus is in. Andrew, good morning.
DA, good morning. These headlines are sponsored by Lowe's. Do your next home improvement project right by shopping Lowe's for deals throughout the store. Do it right for less. Start with Lowe's. Now, you called Chiefs Texans dumb earlier this morning. I was going to go with stupid. Not only did Houston blow a 24-0 lead at Arrowhead, that lead didn't even make it to halftime. KC scored 4 consecutive touchdowns to close the second quarter, then 3 more in a row to start the second half. Well played, Bill O'Brien.
24-0 was a really good lead, like no doubt about it, but I don't think any lead is safe versus these guys, and that's why we felt like we needed 50 points. And we weren't able to do that.
And as you said earlier as well, if you thought you needed 50 to win that game, you need to fire Romeo Crennel and get all new defensive players.
Could you imagine going into a game saying, well, we're going to have to score 50 to win this game, and then settling for a field goal? If you thought you needed 50, then that decision makes no sense.
I mean, and did he say that in front of defensive players all week? Like, yeah. Guys, we got to score 50. Have you seen... JJ's winded. Come on, let's go. We got to score 50.
In many games, if you scored a touchdown on every drive, you wouldn't get to 50 because you sometimes only get 7 possessions in a game.
Right.
It's virtually impossible to go into a playoff game and really honestly think you got to score 50 to win.
Yeah, and then admit it.
And then
openly
admit it.
Afterwards. All told, the Chiefs scored on 8 consecutive possessions. The first 7, again, were touchdowns. So much offense, the stadium crew ran out of fireworks to set off after a TD. The 51-31 final is the first time in playoff history a team went from a 20-point deficit to a 20-point win. 5 touchdown passes for Patrick Mahomes, 2 for Aaron Rodgers, then 2 big third down conversion in the final 2 minutes to close out the Seahawks at Lambeau.
Like I've said, you know, most of the year, as you guys have talked about the aesthetics of our wins, it doesn't have to be pretty. But what we've done is closed out games the right way.
His Packers held off the Seahawks 28-23 after leading 21-3 at halftime. Now they're in their 3rd NFC title game in 6 seasons. They visit the Niners in Sunday's 2nd game, Titans-Chiefs, 2:05 Central at Arrowhead.
So our poll question today is, was Russell Wilson corny at 10 years old? Because that was the last time the Seahawks actually won at Lambeau Field. As corny as he is, Aaron Rodgers is equally... like apathetic and or indifferent and or bored by everything, right?
Right, but I think that's his real personality too.
I totally agree. But isn't it funny that Russell Wilson goes so out of his way to answer every question with such depth and context and respect in his mind? He's going out of his way to answer everything. And then here's Aaron Rodgers that basically sounds like, I'm so bored by you idiots. Right? It's the complete opposite. The complete opposite.
Because one's a nice guy, and one is not a nice guy.
You think Aaron Rodgers is not a nice guy?
Look, again, I have a personal dealing where he came across to me as a jerk.
Didn't that dealing begin, though, with you showing him a picture phone of you in
naked
underpants?
Admittedly, he was staring at virtually a naked picture of me covered in birdseed.
Right.
I get it. But.
This has happened before. I get it. I've seen
other guys have handled that picture well.
No. We saw him interact at, and by the way, this wasn't a party. He went to a public setting, a public bar, and, you know, girls talking to him want to take pictures. He's hanging out with his one, you know, rich kind of friend that he was talking to.
I get it.
Basically, could have been friendlier with anybody. But, you know, the fat, bald guy comes over, shows a naked picture of you. Suddenly, I'm a criminal. So to me, And Russell Wilson, I'm that same naked, bald guy next to him. He could do a shot with me.
Okay, this is a good question because Aaron Rodgers, once upon a time, told Mraz, get away from me, buddy, after Mraz showed him a picture of him naked in nothing but a pink Speedo in Central Park. If you showed that picture to Russell Wilson at the Prince Mansion, which you were at with a private party, what does Russell Wilson say?
I think Russell Wilson gives me kind of some meat on the bone. I think he does.
You gave him some.
Yeah, I was going to say.
No, I think.
What meat, what bone?
No, I think he would give me like, oh, come on, man. That's awful, man. And then I think somehow Russell Wilson would turn into an inspiring, you know, how I should work out to relieve my my man boobs and stuff like that. And, you know, I think me and Russell would have hit it off had I had my phone and showed him that picture.
You weigh
yourself nude or you weigh yourself clothed?
I got to tell you, Sean, I think that the pink in your skin really looks good. It really works for you really well. And you know what? I think tomorrow we can get you on a bit of a regimen. I'll show you how many laps you get to do, and we'll get you in shape. And, you know, next Final Four when I see you, don't worry, buddy. You're going to be 100 pounds down.
I think that would be a Russell Wilson answer. I really do believe that. I think Russell Wilson cares about people and Aaron Rodgers cares about himself. I think it's the best way to put it.
You gave Aaron Rodgers some meat on the bone.
I did. I gave him the meat on the bone. That's a naked picture of me. He should be blessed that I'm coming up and telling him that.
Nope.
I didn't have to tell him that.
I get it.
I was naked, but still.
I get it. I'm a naked, fat stranger in a bar. I get it.
I mean, it still matters. Yeah, it doesn't matter. Please and thank you is still okay, even if I'm a naked, fat stranger.
Please get away from me, buddy. Thank you.
If he said, hey, buddy, please, I'm looking to hang out with my buddies. I don't need this right now. Totally different than get away from me, buddy.
You got me in a bad time with your naked picture.
A please goes a long way. Have a good night. You know, something like that follows.
Hey, man, you just caught me at a bad time to look at your naked, oiled up body in Central Park, and I don't know you. But you know what? If you catch me tomorrow at a better time, I can really study this with you.
Michelangelo. I would have felt so blessed. I would love Aaron Rodgers there, but Russell has the people skills. Get away from me, buddy. Doesn't work with Russell Wilson.
It should be noted that Mraz's Aaron Rodgers curse is now done. He said since that moment, Rodgers would never win another playoff game, and he won yesterday.
Still nothing official in Cleveland, but Vikings offensive coordinator Kevin Stefanski is the Browns' new head coach, and Jimmy Johnson has a spot in the Hall of Fame. They last played more than 2 weeks ago. LSU and Clemson finally back on the field tonight to decide the national title. Kickoff in New Orleans is shortly after 8 Eastern. Kyrie Irving back last night after missing 2 months with a shoulder injury, 21 points, 20 minutes. His Nets routed the Hawks 108-86. And this is not technically stunned to a news, but here we go. Patriots receiver Julian Edelman may be overcome with grief because the dynasty is dead, arrested Saturday night in Beverly Hills after allegedly jumping on the hood of a car. Now, earlier in the night, he was hanging with Danny Amendola and Paul Pierce. Not sure what they did in this moment as well, but that was how Julian Edelman spent the weekend. He's got an April court date.
You know, people handle funerals a lot of different ways, very emotional.
Exactly. Grief is a unique feeling, and however you want to handle it and express it and work through it, that's up to you.
He saw the Patriots' Death of a Dynasty funeral on YouTube, and he realized, you know what, I'm going to freak out here emotionally. When we come back, we will update you on the poll. Was Russell Wilson corny at 10 years old, plus your epic fail? DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, you like that, big boy?
You're going to get a LeBron as the Terminator. How many different remakes of these movies come out all the time? You're telling me when you get LeBron and he's a muscular dude like that, we're not going to get him in a Terminator? He will be the Terminator. Within the next decade, you will get a Terminator remix with LeBron as the star. He's already in L.A. It makes too much sense for you guys to mock me.
D.A. on CBS Sports Radio.
49 minutes past the D.A. Past the hour, rather, the DA show here on CBS Sports Radio. Thanks so much for being with us on a fine Monday morning. It's time for your Ask the Pros question of the day, brought to you by O'Reilly Auto Parts. Think O'Reilly for all of your car care needs. Guaranteed low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Jim in New Orleans says, DA, big LSU fan here. What do you think tonight? I think my Tigers roll. I don't think they roll, but I do think that LSU wins tonight's game. I like the Joe Burrow matchup against the Clemson defense more than I like Trevor Lawrence against the secondary of LSU. I think there's a lot of NFL defensive backs in the secondary of LSU, and I think Joe Burrow's just been on a totally different wavelength this year than almost everybody that he's played, and I think it'll continue tonight. This is no knock on Clemson. Clemson's an excellent team, and I don't believe that Clemson should ever be disrespected or discounted because they are an elite program. They've won 29 straight games. They've won two national championships recently. They are every bit as good as any other program in the country. But this year, I think LSU is a little bit better. I like the Joe Burrow matchup against the Clemson defense a little bit better than I like the Trevor Lawrence matchup against the LSU defense. I think this game is played in the high 20s and 30s, and I think LSU ends up getting a victory by maybe a touchdown or so. Let's get to your epic fail of the morning, boys and girls. Pete Carroll on the sideline yesterday had an interesting look.
Even the DA show is not perfect. We know. Shocking. Here's the epic fail.
Why does Pete Carroll look like an old woman who does cross country? I mean, what was that hat? What is those glasses? What is that nose? What is all of that?
He looks like an old woman driving a tricycle with a flag on the back.
But I don't mean just any girl. I mean a very special girl.
I mean, he really looks like he should be jarring cranberries or strawberries for the winter.
And every time they point out that he's the oldest head coach in the NFL, you go, nah, he doesn't look it. Today he does. Or last night he did.
He had the Seahawks hat that's pulled up at the top of his head. Like he doesn't realize you can pull the hat down for the back of your head.
I beg your pardon. That's awful.
It's pulled up above the ear.
Wisps of white hair on his forehead.
He has the reading glasses on. Are you catching your real eyeglasses?
He looks like Mrs. Claus.
He looks like Mrs. Claus.
Let's hear it for Mrs. Claus.
He looks like if Mrs. Claus got an Ellen haircut.
He looks like Mrs. Claus raised the 12th man flag.
Graham might have been, probably was short. Pete Carroll certainly thought so.
She's Mrs. Claus. Give her a round of applause. She's underappreciated.
So, if you weren't here an hour one, we decided that Carroll looked like Mrs. Claus post-game last night.
Lady, you're scaring us.
And then I found out this woman wrote a song because she thought that Mrs. Claus is the anti-J.J. Watt, that she is underrated and never gets winded.
Do they go after Big Poppy? Big Poppy, baby. Big Poppy. Watch out.
Propping up Mr. Claus.
Epic fail, you loser.
That is why you fail.
Epic fail.
All right, let's update you on the Twitter poll. Here's how the advanced metrics department works at the DA show. We just look at a stupid Twitter poll and tell you what it came out with. Was Russell Wilson corny at 10 years old? The Seahawks, the last time they won at Lambeau, he was 10 years old. 81% of you say yes, Russell Wilson was corny at 10. 19% say no. Now, some of our listeners have pointed out, wasn't everybody corny at 10 years old? And that's a good point. Everybody is corny at 10. So I think that a corny guy like Russell Wilson was corny at 10, but even cornier than normal 10-year-old's corniness level. As we pointed out, probably out of all the corn, he's a creamed corn.
Yeah, he's very wet, soaked, sweet.
Mushy.
Mushy.
Mushy and sweet, sometimes too sweet. Also, a couple of you guys are pointing out that I called Aaron Rodgers Brett Favre last segment. Who knew? I don't know.
I certainly didn't.
No, Mraz didn't catch that. So tomorrow we're going to do full recap of the national championship game coming up tonight, obviously, LSU and Clemson. We'll have our friend Barrett Salee, who's going to join us, college football insider. And then also, it's a Trash Tuesday. So if you're an LSU or a Clemson fan, tomorrow this is where you need to be in the morning because we will be taking out the trash on the national championship game tomorrow morning with Barrett Salee. Like I said, I like LSU tonight. I think Clemson's an excellent team. I think LSU's a little bit better this year, and I think it'll come to fruition tonight. Joe Burrow crowns his season with a championship. We'll see. That'll do it for us this morning here on the show. Thanks to Sean Mraz, executive producer of the DA show. Thanks to Pete the Body Bellotti on the Wheels of Steel, your audio director. Thanks to Andrew Bogish on your headlines. Thanks to Andrew Kaplan at WatchDA.com, your wizard of WatchDA.com. Be good and be good to one another. We'll see you tomorrow morning. The Mothership disconnects.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.